marijuana legalization also ushers in the return of the American hemp industry. Get the latest news from the author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, Doug Fine, in our Hemp Day Hump Day update.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Middle of the week, time for us to learn all about the wide world of industrial hemp. And there's no one better to tell us than our guest, Doug Fine. How you doing, Doug?
Lovely. Thank you, Russ. Here at harvest season, life is good.
Where are you right now?
I'm actually at home. My harvest season here in New Mexico, thanks to our governor vetoing our hemp bill this year that our divided legislature passed, some of the wording I helped with. Inexplicable, the word coming out of the Capitol is it was a personal feud with some of the sponsors, and that she'll be different when we come next year. But here on the ranch, my goats are screaming for their expensive imported hemp protein instead of that which I could grow here myself.
Yeah, unfortunately. But hopefully we've got some good news about hemp somewhere in the nation. What can you tell us?
Oh, yeah. It's mostly good news. It's harvest season. It's starting. I'm going to be in a whole bunch of states over the next couple of weeks. The funnest part for me is learning the agronomic and agricultural side. Journalistically, I mean, that it's all very interesting to sort of watch how the industry develops and what are the apps and then exponential growth, double-digit growth across North America, the bullishness the world over. But getting into the fields and seeing, you know, a hand harvest in one state, a combine harvest in another state, different cultivars, how they're performing in different climates, it's very exciting. Also, I think since we last spoke, this was just before the congressional recess, the U.S. House overwhelmingly bipartisan passed for the second year running a prohibition of federal agencies interfering with state hemp program seed imports. So a lot of good news.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, we got some questions from our chat room and a quick update just to let you know. One of our chatters out there is Speed Limit, Michael Hughes out in Bend, Oregon, who says his high desert hemp farm has their biggest hemp plants are nearly 15 feet tall and 8 feet wide and just started to flower. Looks like they're breeding him for some CBD.
That is fantastic. If he's part of the state hemp program, one of the dozen or so folks who did get their applications in Oregon, that is really, really good news. If he's listening now, you can go to my website at Doug Fine and hit the contact button. I'd love to see photos and potentially plan a farm visit. There will be Oregon farm visits coming up here soon. As far as other news out of Oregon, political news since we last spoke, the state agriculture department pressed the pause button on issuing new permits. The timing of it was good, and in that it's, you know, late in the season, and for conventional planters, there's all kinds of, as everybody knows, light deprivation and year-round industry that needs to be done. So it's not ideal, but at least it was late in the season after most people who were going to be planting for this year already got their permits. And the reason ostensibly is there's been a couple of reasons I've heard from different folks involved in the process. One is discussions about changing the permitting process from a 3-year to an annual. And other issues include the fact that the applications for which hemp is, you know, proving to be beneficial are so broad and so wide that the state needs to catch up with things like that, like growing for cannabinoid or nutraceutical extracts, versus, you know, the traditional things we think of as older school hemp applications, and cutting-edge nanotechnology stuff on the fiber side, hemp fiber batteries, hemp for energy, making Oregon and humanity energy independent. So I'm confident, especially now that we see models that are working in other states, including other states that I've been active in, where there's been no problems from federal authorities, from state authorities, smooth sailing all along, private farmers growing lots of acreage. I'm confident that the discussion now in this semi-off season will result in a successful 2016 season for Oregon hemp farmers, including those that didn't get in this year and want to apply to under whatever the new program rules will be for next year.
Excellent. All right. Well, thanks for updating on that. And then we have a question in the chat room about hemp farms in Tennessee. Has there been any hemp farm? Have you been to any hemp farms in Tennessee? And is Tennessee licensing individual hemp farmers?
Yes. All these different individual states' stories are so remarkable. The stories of perseverance, I mean, you could pick just about any of the state of the 26 now states that can grow under the federal, you know, research legalization under the Farm Bill of 2014, Section 7606. And Tennessee's story was incredible. It was a nail biter. I'll find out more about this soon because I am going to that to the region here very soon. But the way that it was explained to me by folks and farmers I know there is that for whatever reason, whoever was handling the federal side of the approval process there, it was a last minute nail biter. The state was on board, the farmers were on board, everybody was ready and poised, but there was a delay in getting the federal approval so that you have that, you know, completely unambiguously legal and appropriate cultivation that the state that's really leading in that way, Kentucky, has. And so this Kentucky model works. You'd think right next door it would be a piece of cake. It would probably be the same federal agency people handling Tennessee as Kentucky, but evidently not. And they just at the last minute, right before planting had to happen, got everything approved so that they could get their seed in. And from what I understand, some of their farms, they got a lot of acreage in, really impressive first year, and some of their farms are among the bigger in the U.S. that are growing this year. Again, in a few weeks, by our next Hemp Day Hump Day, I will have stats on that. And it's not really all about the acreage, but the reason why sizable acreage matters, it's not any more important than somebody that grows 10 acres because the amount, for instance, Dr. Bronner soap, it's less than 1% hemp oil, and it's mostly an olive oil soap, right? And so you can do a lot as a small and growing company, especially under this research phase on small acreage, but there's a lot of reasons why large acreage farming is important. And for me, the most important one is energy, biomass energy. We're ready to get off fossil fuels through domestic hemp. So yeah, Tennessee was hot this year. I'm really proud of it, and I'm excited to see their field.
Excellent, excellent. Good news there. And when it comes to these states trying to get hemp crops into the ground, of course, they need to have seed. And apparently Oregon's got some problems getting seeds for next year. And how is the seed situation shaping up for these states?
Well, this is why I think in Oregon's case, I'll tell the big picture sort of seed story where we are now, but in Oregon's case, that's why I think that this rediscussion with the good folks at the Oregon Department of Agriculture is going to prove fruitful, because the problem this year, to the extent that there was a problem, Oregon had one of the best first years for modern programs of any state. It's impressive. I just got an email of another beautiful farm growing, and I know all over the state they were successful hemp farming this year under the program. But because our Oregon's Department of Agriculture doesn't have the from-the-top cheerleading leadership that a state like Kentucky does, and every interview I conduct in Kentucky, as I've been there many times and have been involved in the projects there and continue to be, every time the state agriculture people will say, wow, when you say, wow, unbelievable, look at all these processors, 99 projects and farming projects, amazing. They say, yeah, that's because our commissioner likes hemp. And we don't have that. We don't have an agriculture commissioner in Oregon that loves hemp. And so it's tooth and nail, but hemp can't be kept down. It's too important to the state, to the state's economy, to the state's soil, to the state's future, and to the state's farmers. And so people aren't taking no for an answer, which similarly happened in Colorado. And after a while, their state ag department is caught up and now kind of is developing a research and program that allows for that seed importation of under federal approval. That was no problem for a project I was involved with in Kentucky. It's going to be no problem for farmers in Colorado and elsewhere, and hopefully Tennessee and others in the near future. And then let us pray for Oregon as well. What it comes down to is federal agencies like the DEA want to know that there's an MOU between farmers and either a state ag department and an institution of higher or an institution of higher learning, and Oregon's officialdom in that level wasn't able to do that this year. That we got pretty far, but not to that level of MOU. So hopefully that's what will happen next year. Now, bigger picture, as I mentioned, the federal law now, the law of the land, the prohibiting interference with state hemp programs on importation of seeds is such that it's a semi don't ask, don't tell situation. I don't like it. I'm a kind of guy who thinks everything should be T's crossed, I's dotted. Let's get the full federal legalization, stop this research, get beyond this research phase, even though Kentucky is successfully using sales and marketing research as legitimate research, allowing hundreds of acres to be grown and sold under sales and marketing research. And I think Oregon and other states should implement that. It doesn't bother the feds at all. They're still issuing permits to allow the seeds to be imported. So that said, seed is getting brought in anyway in many states, and now there's a growing domestic supply. It's not going to be all smooth sailing for anyone next year who doesn't already have a good seed supply, because it was another not great seed year for production in both Canada and Europe. So it's going to be partly a supply issue again. But again, I'm confident that nothing can keep the industry down, and it's going to continue growing.
Yeah, we definitely need the hemp industry. And I'm like you. I think the laws of supply and demand, once we've released hemp into the wild, so to speak, I mean, it's just inevitable that we're going to have better laws and more access to this fine, fine product. Now, with the minute that we've got left, Doug, can you give us some rundown on where you're going to be over the next few weeks in case people want to catch up with you at one of your events?
Thanks for that. Yeah, next couple of weeks I'm going to be doing a lot of journalism at the Harvest, but there are some events coming up. I think I'm going to be in Nebraska October 3rd or so. I will be in Santa Fe in November. There's looks like I'll be at the Emerald Cup in Northern California in December. All this will be up soon on my events page at DougFine.com, and into the spring, Arizona, Fort Collins, Colorado, and elsewhere. So thanks for asking. But meanwhile, for me, it's about learning how to harvest hemp. That's what my life looks like for the next couple of weeks.
All right. And of course, all the different ways that hemp can be harvested, all the different things that it can produce. There's so much variety that has yet to be explored in the world of industrial hemp. Every other Wednesday, we visit with Doug Fine, author of Hemp Bound and Too High to Fail, to get our Hemp Day Hump Day update. Great update, Doug. Thanks for calling in, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Look forward to it. Thank you, Russ.
All right. And give my best to Taylor Swift and the rest of the goats. All right, folks, stay tuned. We're going to have an anti-drug public service announcement of the day, followed by a radical rant. Why the reverence for the illegal weed dealers? Probably piss some people off with this one. Stay tuned.
Show is blogging and podcasting daily at Radical.